Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany comes from our Gospel reading of Mark. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Let's follow the text. The demons are the ones who work only according to power. They're the ones who come with brute force and work their dealings upon the weak. Power is a natural thing, but it is also a dangerous thing. And when it comes devoid of authority, it is nothing but an evil thing. And so the demon convulses the poor man as he is driven out, surely the last bit of rage forced upon this helpless victim of his. And I can't say what exactly this man suffered at the hands of the demons, but whatever it was contrary to all the things of God. We hear in other places that the demons caused men to go insane, caused them to hide away naked, hiding in caves and acting like animals, threatened to throw young boys into the fire. The demons hate the things of life and the good temporal gifts of our God, given to the pinnacle of his creation. Their only desire is to rule with power, but their rule is one devoid of joy, devoid of mercy, devoid of love and care and actual provision. They seek to take all of these things away, and they do it by force. The crowds, they're astonished at the workings of Jesus. It is as if they have never heard anything like this man before. For Jesus teaches and he acts as one who has authority, not power, even though he has all the power of the universe wrapped up in his little finger. And yet he keeps his power hidden away. Yes, he does portray it at times, but never without his authority leading the way. And this is odd to them. It seems weird and strange in their ears. They hadn't heard this type of teaching before. They were amazed by it because all that they knew was power. Power that oppressed and kept men tied down out of fear and self-preservation. But isn't this the way of fallen man? Isn't this the way of sinful man? He cares precious little about authority. Power is so much easier to wield, so much easier to force upon others, so much easier to bring about the desired effect. Why in the world would sinful man waste all of that time and all of that energy to make sure that he had the authority to do something when he can just as easily exert his will upon others just with his power? It seems like only the foolish sort of man would keep his power hidden away and lead only with authority. Because authority means the truth is on its side. And power doesn't care anything about truth. It only cares about who has the bigger gun. Does Jesus seem a little strange to us, as strange as he did to the crowds in our reading for today? Are we astonished that he teaches as one who has authority, and not as one who just and only wields the sword? I think he is, just as foreign to us as the crowds in our text. And we need look no further to the workings of princes and kings if we want to find out about power and authority. Seldom do we find a man who actually leads with authority. Governments will swing their pendulum as far as they can to the right, and then they'll swing them as far as they can to the left, hardly caring anything about authority, only if they have the power to do so. And it doesn't matter if your favorite color is red or blue. It doesn't matter if you prefer pachyderms or would rather ride on a donkey. All that we care about is that our preferred group holds the power. All talk of authority is gone from the conversation. And perhaps that's because authority and power have become interchangeable in our nomenclature. We use them just as synonyms, when in reality they're different and they're distinct from one another. I can put a gun in your face and steal your wallet. I don't have the authority to do that, but I certainly do have the power. And at that point, the only thing that's going to allow you to keep your wallet is if you have a bigger gun. Unfortunately, the sinner has done himself a grave disservice when it comes to this authority and the power stuff. The sinner desires power. Desires power so much, has made power to be the only thing that even matters anymore. We've convinced ourselves that power breeds authority. The man with the bigger stick is always the one to be envied, and so we no longer care about authority, we no longer care about truth. When the man with the big stick hits us over the head, all we care about is finding a bigger stick. And we don't have to search that hard to find an example in our own daily lives where we've exerted our power over and against our neighbor, not caring a lick whether or not we actually have the authority to do so. Husbands wield their power over their wives and forget that their first responsibility is to actually lay down their life for her. And children, they dream of the day when they can grow big enough so that they can finally disobey their parents without any consequences. The fourth commandment becomes a thing for the weak. Honoring those that God has actually placed above us with authority, that seems silly. We don't really want to do it anymore. Why? Because we care about authority? No. Because we desire power. And power is all that matters for the sinner. Power is all that matters for the demons. And so here comes this Jesus fellow in our text for today, and he teaches as one who has authority. And the scribes didn't do this. The Pharisees didn't either, even though they did have the authority to do this thing, authority over the people, in order to lead them in the ways of the Lord. They had cast this authority out into the trash heap, because it's easier to beat the sheep into the pen than guide them by showing them that this sheep pen is actually a good place. It's a safe place where they can find food and water and a nice place to curl up for the night. And pastors, they can just as easily fall into this power trap, no longer leading their flock like a shepherd, but bullying them like a tyrant. If your pastor ever does this, don't let him. Send him on his way. He doesn't have that sort of authority. The thing about power devoid of authority is that it never serves the neighbor. It always seeks what is good and best for the self, never for the other. And so it leaves the other only in a place of fear and trepidation and suffering and agony. But authority breeds faith and trust and the honor that is due. Even when the one who has authority must wield his power, it's different. For that power is not exerted only to threaten and only to punish, but instead to reprove and correct and lead to the truth. The people, they see in this Jesus one who has authority. He teaches as one they've never heard before. And even the demons have to obey him, not because he whips them into submission, but because in him is truth. And these fallen angels have nothing to say to Emmanuel, to God with us, to God in the flesh. All of their power is gone. It's useless in his face because they know who he is. He's the Holy One of God. They can't lie about this. They have to speak the truth. But our Lord doesn't even allow this out of them. He silences them with a word and he casts them out once again into the abyss. He has the power to do this, but more importantly, he has the authority to do this. And the demons obey. They have to. But notice something about our Lord. He treats us differently than he treats the demons. Almost as if we were vastly more important than they were. For he didn't take on their form, did he? He didn't become one of them in order to redeem them from their fallen place. He only does that for us. Christ becomes man, makes himself one of us, so that he can win us back to the demons and back to his Father and ours. Surely he had the power to do this. An argument can be made that God, the God of everything, can do whatever he wants through his power. But I don't think that's the truth. God cannot go against his nature. And his nature is not one who would only wield his power to accomplish his will. He's not going to beat you into heaven. That's not how it works. And so he becomes man. He hides away his ultimate power and instead comes with authority. Because I don't need a God who only has power over sin and death and the devil. I need a God who actually has authority over them. For if all that he has is power, then the battle wouldn't be sure. I could never fall comfortably asleep in my death, knowing for sure that my eyes would open up on the other side. If power is all that there is to play here, then I would never have the assurance that death's power is gone, that sin's power is not more powerful, that the demon's power won't one day overpower God. Instead, I need a God who has authority over all of these enemies of mine, so that when he says to me, "Your sins are forgiven," they are, because he has authority to declare me righteous. And when he says to my death, "Rise, my child, enter into eternal life," I will, because he has the authority to raise the dead. And when he says to the demons, "Be silent, you have nothing to say here, to hell with you and your devilish lies," they're silent, because he has the authority to shut their mouths. We'll see all of this play out for us in spectacular fashion as we make our way into Lent, through Lent, all the way to Holy Week in a couple of months. Jesus is going to stand there silent, like a sheep led to the slaughter. All power in heaven and on earth is his, and yet he tucks it away while he's beaten and shamed and led before kangaroo courts to his crucifixion. He'll tell Pontius Pilate that in the blink of an eye, he could have 10,000 legions of angels at his beck and call, but he won't say the word, because it isn't about power for Jesus. The cross is never about power. It's always about authority. And Jesus has the authority to go there and turn that instrument of suffering and death into a purveyor of forgiveness and life. He has the authority to take your sins and mine, the sins of the entire world for that matter, and place them all on himself. He has the authority to call all of those sins his own and demand from the Father that all of his wrath is meted out on him. He has the authority to take his own perfect righteousness and drape it over you. He has the authority to go to the tomb, dead as dead can be, and yet burst forth alive from that sinner's grave with death still dead inside. He has the authority to say to sin, "You have no authority to condemn my children. To death, you have no authority to kill them forever. To the demons, you have no authority to accuse them any longer. All the authority in heaven and earth is mine. Sin, you are forgiven. Death, you are dead. Demons, you are cast away." And they are, because Jesus has authority over them. Power versus authority. Christ has both. But it's his authority that matters most to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.